Maseches Brachos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel, 3:3. The Mishnah continues on talking about those who are exempt from saying Kriyat Shema, and will list three separate categories of people who are exempt. The first is Nashim, women. Women are exempt from Kriyat Shema because it's a mitzvah asa shezman grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah. That is to say, the time, whether it's the morning time of Uvukumech or the evening time of Uvushachbacha, which is gorem, which causes one to be obligated. And since women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs, as the Mishnah says in Kedushin, Perek Aleph Mishnah Zayin, so they're too exempted from the obligation to say Kriyat Shema. Truth is that there are a total of 8 mitzvahs asa shezman grama that women are exempt from, 8 time-bound commandments women are exempt from. There are numerous other mitzvahs asa shezman grama, other time-bound positive commandments, like, for example, saying Kiddush on Friday night. Women are obligated in Kiddush, for example, for technical reasons, in that case, because there's both a mitzvahs asa and a love, a positive and negative commandment. In any case, there are a total of 8 mitzvahs asa shezman grama, only 8. That women are exempt from. Those are saying Kriyat Shema, as we have in the Mishnah here. Tefillin, as the Mishnah will say in a moment, which is actually 2 mitzvahs, a shel yad and shel rosh. One mitzvah is putting on the arm, and the second mitzvah, putting on the head. There's also the mitzvah of tzitzis, because that's a daytime mitzvah, only in the day, because the pasuk says uri isimoso. Women are exempt from that. They're also exempt from counting sfiras ha'omer, shaking a lulav, hearing the shofar, and sleeping in a sukkah. Total of 8. So, women are exempt, and even though the Mishnah and Kedushin already said they're exempt, the reason why the Mishnah says it here is because since Kriyat Shema is so essentially important, one might have thought that they'd be obligated. But in fact, they're pater. V'avadim, the second category is slaves. Now, as we said before, there are 2 categories of slaves. There's an Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish person who becomes a slave, and he's a quasi-Jew, and an Eved Ivri, who is a regular Jewish person. All matters. He just is a Jewish man who got into financial trouble, and since he can't pay back his debts, he goes into servitude. Since he's a regular Jewish man, he's obligated in all mitzvahs, including Kriyat Shema. So here we're talking about avadim who are non-Jewish slaves, Eved Kanani, and they are obligated in mitzvahs, just like women, as you said before. The Eved Kanani is circumcised, goes to the mikvah to become an Eved Kanani, and accepts upon himself all mitzvahs, like a woman. And since women are exempt from Kriyat Shema, so too are avadim. And finally, katanim. Katanim are children. That is to say, a boy who's not yet reached the age of bar mitzvah. To be no longer a katan, he needs to both be 13 years old and also to have brought forth 2 pubic hairs. Until then, he's a katan and he's exempt. And although when it comes to mitzvahs in general, even children, once they reach the age of chinuch, once they're old enough to educate for a particular mitzvah, they become chayav midrabbanan. They're obligated rabbinically. Not the case for Kriyat Shema, because, as Rashi says, and the bartender brings it here, an amazing insight into chinuch, into education of children, since the father's not always around, so therefore the children is exempt. That is to say, my understanding is, education requires consistency, and since the father can't always be there, it becomes bad chinuch, bad education for the child to sometimes yes and sometimes not say Kriyat Shema, and therefore better not say it at all, because the father isn't around, and then he can't reinforce proper chinuch. And therefore the child is pater. They're also pater, all 3 categories, from tefillin, min tefillin. Women are exempt from tefillin. Again, it's a time-bound mitzvah. That is, say, at the time, daytime, is when tefillin are obligated, and they're not obligated also on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So women are exempt. One might have thought, since tefillin are connected to mezuzah in the verse, the pasuk, and since women are chayiv in mezuzah, one might have thought they're chayiv in tefillin. So too for avadim. Same reason, they share the same obligations as women. And children. Now, children really should be chayav and chinuch again, but here there's a separate problem. To wear tefillin, one has to keep a guf naki, a clean body, and that means he may not pass gas. And children before bar mitzvah are not trusted until right before and their bar mitzvah, not trusted to be able to keep themselves and control their bodily functions to not pass gas. So therefore, they're exempt. However, all 3 categories are chayav. They're chayavin b'tfila, uv'mezuzah, uv'birchas hamazon. They're obligated in tfila, that is to say prayer. Now, tfila, that's a Shemona Esrei, is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Even the Rambam holds tfila in general is a d'oraisa, that is to say praying once a day. Here we're talking about the rabbinic requirement to pray, in the case of men, 3 times a day, shachas, mincha, marav, and women as applicable. Now, since it's rabbinically enacted, the rabbis have the power to obligate women, even though it's time-bound, and therefore the rabbis did, in fact, obligate women to daven at least shachas mincha, when they're not trudos, when they're not exempt for whatever extraneous reason. Same goes for mezuzah, putting on a mezuzah on one's door, again, not time-bound, and therefore women and children are obligated if their child would have a home, for example. Birkas hamazon, and finally, uvirchas hamazon, in the grace after meals. Again, it's not a time-bound, the time's not gorem, doesn't cause it to happen. Everyone eats a bread meal. He has to bench when he eats, at least to midoraisa, when he eats to full satiety, and midorabanan, even if he just eats a kazayas, an olive's amount of bread, he has to do birkat hamazon. There's a machlokus if the obligation of women is midoraisa or midorabanan. That's because the pasuk says, "V'achalta v'savata v'rachta," you'll eat, be satisfied, and you'll bless Hashem. Yes, Hashem elokecha. That, of course, is midoraisa for men. However, the end of the pasuk says, "Al ha'aretz hatova shenasan lach," you'll thank Hashem for the land, the good land that He gave you. And since women were not included in the Yerusha, the inheritances, the nach, I should say, as Eretz Yisrael was divided up, women themselves didn't get ownership in the land. Therefore, it's a question if that verse exempts them midoraisa. Either way, the meaning, of course, is for women always to bench. But there are nafkaminas. For example, if a woman can be motzi a man, is a question. If she's only rabbinically required and men are required midoraisa, she couldn't. And also, if she's misupeket, if she's not sure whether she benched or not, normally the halach is, if one has a suffix on a bracha, he doesn't say it. If a mitzvah is a doraisa, like kriyashma, he would do it, and that's the truth for men. Men have to bench. If they're not sure if they bench a second time. But women, since it's a suffix, if they're chayav, a doraisa, midorabanan, in the event where a woman is not sure whether she benched, suffix brachas lahakel, she should not bench.